New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Oh, finally, a happy Friday night. It was a week ago, the Kings made a coaching change. We were so low. They followed it up with a loss in L.A., and we're thinking bad things. Could this season be falling apart? Well, the Sacramento Kings have pulled it together for the moment, digging themselves out of a hole a bit. They've all of a sudden won three in a row after an impressive win over a really talented Memphis Grizzlies team, a Grizzlies team playing without Ja Morant, but man, they're deep, and they've got dogs everywhere. They got fight. And the Kings fought as well. Sacramento's offense was a-flowing. 46 points in the first quarter. They knocked down 10 threes in the first quarter. 10 of 18 from downtown during that stretch. And then the Grizzlies made a run. They dropped a 40-piece in the second. Yeah. Oh, no. Kings took a bit of control. But then in the fourth quarter, it got chippy at times. It got physical. But the Kings ended up winning a close game behind big fourth quarters from Malik Monk, from DeMar DeRozan, and De'Aaron Fox. And they beat the Memphis Grizzlies 138 to 133. The Kings now 16-19 on the season. Get ready for a matchup on Sunday on the road against the Warriors. Ugh. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
So good. I mean, it's just, how fun is it? How fun. Winning heels.
Winning? And we saw the debut of Devin Carter. How did I leave that out of the intro?
How did you leave that out of the intro?
There's so much to go over with this game tonight, Morgan. But first things first. This team is having fun right now.
Yep.
And the thing that is popping to me, and it's been popping the last few games, this pace is off the charts. Mm. We haven't seen them play with this pace consistently through this stretch, probably sends that original Beam team.
It's fun to watch.
They're embracing it. And it's like something we had mentioned too was like, there's too many times Sabonis would get a rebound and bring up the ball, which is fine every once in a while. But when you have these explosive guards like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, get them the ball, let them attack downhill and create something. The Kings are doing such a better job the last few games, especially tonight, of when they get that ball, they are getting it up the floor as fast as possible, either pushing or with the pass.
Well, and they're doing a good job of matching the pace of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies love to get in the fast break. They love to score in the fast break. And not so great for the Kings' transition defense, but hey, if you can try and match that same energy, that same tempo, and that's what the Kings did. They move the ball with the pass up the floor. Everyone is running. Everyone is running lanes. But I also think what that led to early on, Deuce, was the ball flowing differently when it was, even if they were in a half court set and not necessarily in just an early offense, like and they were having to actually run through multiple actions, the ball was just still freely flowing around the horn or hitting the paint and then hitting someone else. And I just felt like it wasn't so robotic. I don't know. There's just something really great about it.
I'm completely with you. And that assist number, of course, you got to make shots, but that you could just see it. The ball was popping. They end up in this game with 32 assists and just 10 turnovers against a Grizzlies team That forces a lot of turnovers. Yeah. So 32 assists and just 10 turnovers in this
Love
game.
It.
They shoot at just a tick under 50%. They are 21 of 47 from downtown, 44.7%. Can we also start with what a difference it makes when Trey Lyles is knocking down shots?
Oh, my God.
Malik Monk, what was it, a couple of games ago, said Trey Lyles was fat after the injury.
Yeah.
He was out of shape.
He did say he was fat.
He looks like he's getting in better and better shape, and that three-point shot is dropping at such a nice rate. I'm looking at the last three games. 14 points for him against Dallas on 3 of 6. Against the Sixers, he had 12 points on 4 of 8 from downtown. Tonight, 16 points, 14 in the first half, 4 of 4 from downtown.
Yeah, like he's just in rhythm. And didn't matter if a hand was running out, contesting his three. In his, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because one play he had was Jaren Jackson came out to contest a three. Okay. He put the ball on the floor, drove. Got by him. And then Jackson... And it was like a drive, and then he like had a nice little ball fake and got the ball to Sabonis.
Okay, because I remember there being a hand in his face on one of these threes, and yeah. He was just like, bop, like just feeling good. And it didn't feel like, I mean, obviously, but he wasn't just looking to take any three. He was 4 for 4 and 6 for 6 from the field. So you think about just him being efficient tonight, but it was like, yeah, he wasn't just like, throwing them up because he was open or because whatever else was happening. Just like you said, like he took time to just play basketball the right way.
I got slightly worried in the third quarter when the Kings went 1 of 11 from downtown. They were clinking everything. I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to be talking about, good first half from three. But then they got it together. I think they were 6 of 7 from downtown in the fourth quarter. Damn. Outscoring Memphis 36-33 in the fourth quarter to get the win. But yeah, it's crazy, but like, they've had really no consistent three-point shooting this year, right?
Yeah.
And so Trey coming out hot for a guy that we've expected to be able to knock down threes in the past, for him to knock down shots, yeah, it's going to open up everything. And then Sabonis, I liked how aggressive he was early shooting threes. Like, it's going to be tough inside against Jaren Jackson Jr., who is the reigning defensive player of the month. He's won defensive player of the year. He's blocking everything. And then you got Zach Edey's big ass down there. Like, it's going to be hard in the paint. And Sabonis did not hesitate. He ends up taking 6 threes tonight.
It also,
3 of 6.
It also allowed him to show, like, I'm going to be this threat from outside. Open things up in the middle of the paint and allow other guys to create in the middle, you know, because you were having to come out on him because he knocked down three. I loved it. I loved his confidence shooting that shot, but also 3 for 6, you know, not jacking up too many, just enough.
6 was great. I mean, it's just crazy to see Sabonis take 6 in a game. DeRozan took 7?
Dude.
7? He was 4 of 7 from downtown, got great looks in this game. Doug Christie wants him to get to 40. They end up shooting 47 threes in this game. And something we had talked about, I was like, I'm not going to be obsessed with the number. Just get good looks. Dude, tonight they were getting such great looks in this game. And look, there's no denying the offense is flowing better since Doug Christie's taken over.
Sure.
And we keep hearing from the players that they've simplified the offense.
Yeah.
How much can you see that?
I think where you really see it, a lot of it is even in their body language when they are shooting a shot or when they are running through something. You they just look like basketball players out there, you know, not like overthinking anything. They're not thinking like, okay, now I'm going to run, set this screen. You're going to do a back door. We're going to run this action where you come up to stagger screen. And even within those actions under Mike Brown, you saw guys cutting and doing things with a purpose. Like, there was still an effort there.
But it just wasn't quick. It was thinking.
Because they were thinking because they didn't want to sit if they got in trouble. It was like the discipline of making sure they were setting things the right way. And like, that isn't the worst thing to do always. Like, because once you get it down and it's like ingrained in your mind, you would have it down. There wasn't enough time for that. And obviously there's just not enough time when there's a lot of pressure on you to win quick. And so now you're just going back to kind of what they did the first year. Play freely, play fast, play confident, play basketball. And that's what I'm noticing. If that makes sense to a lot of people out there, I hope it does. with just the way they are playing on the offensive end.
Well, the Kings did have a lot of plays that they would run, yeah. right? And there was a lot of things. And it's been something, I mean, you notice even back last year where it's like, okay, it doesn't feel totally the same. And now some of it, too, is like your offense is not going to look good when guys are missing a shit ton of shots and you're not a good three-point shooting team. That's going to change your offense. But you do have to find ways to adjust, I guess, as a coach, right? And this adjustment by Doug is like, all right, we have some really talented and gifted offensive players. Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox are both quick, athletic. They can attack. They can hit threes. They can score at pretty much all levels. Let's let these guys flow. Let DeMar DeRozan cook a little bit. I mean, even the fact that DeMar is playing in this type of pace, that's encouraging. Even Sabonis buying into the fact that, hey, Sabonis, you don't have to just get the ball and push every time. Like, let others in. I can't tell you how many times tonight the Kings got into early offense, not just fast break points. We're talking about early offense by just getting the ball ahead. It sounds so simple, but dude, they are being very deliberate about like, we are doing this fast. And that takes a buy-in from everybody.
They were running a lot of other things too at the high post with Domas, just like just throwing some different things out there as well. But then also you mentioned DeMar. I thought they did a great job when DeMar had the basketball of not just watching him. Even if they were doing a good of staying clear of his path or, you know, going over to the weak side, however they were making these adjustments, they were just still flowing with it, which I thought was a very positive thing.
I do want to hit more on that too. You talk about the positivity because I feel like that is one change. And look, we did a podcast right after Mike Brown got let go. Mm-hmm. We talked all about the decision to let him go. If you want to hear all of our thoughts on that at the time, you can check it out. But you know, over the last week, and now that we're seeing a sample size with someone else kind of running the show with and Doug Christie, the approach is different. You know, I do think. Because I'm not trying to do revisionist history here either, right?
Like, okay.
I appreciate how transparent and honest Mike Brown was in his post-game press conferences.
Yeah.
He would air out his frustrations sometimes, and he would talk honestly about his guys and mistakes that were made. Thinking about it now and just hearing like how these players are talking, I'm like, man, I bet it did get to some of the guys. Like, Doug is naturally just a very positive person, and Doug is like Doug is not like toxic positive where like hey, everything's all good. Yeah. He's gonna hold you accountable, but I think belief is a very powerful thing. And if your coach believes in you and is empowering you to do good things, and it's not just like, man, he's really shitting on me in the media or like pulling me after one mistake, you know.
Sure. So I think it's fine to piece things together it's not like we're just speculating. We're analyzing what we would see. Right. And where I agree with that is that so many people need different forms of teaching, communication, management, all the different things to run the right way. I was coached by people like Mike Brown, and it led to a lot of success. And it can be difficult at times, but at the same time, like, that was the ultimate goal, was to win, was to see that success. So then when you see it, it healed everything. But when you're not seeing it, people are quick to be like, oh, hell no. When things are bad, then things got worse. And that's why, like, I was fine with that style, but can understand where the criticism is. And then with Doug's style, like, of course I love that shit. Like, I'm a mostly positive person in all aspects of life, basketball court, broadcast, like, whatever. And with Doug, I think one of my favorite things is just like, he's someone that's going to be there for you. Every single time a guy was down, Doug is the first guy over there. And I'm like, shouldn't a trainer be? No, it's Doug Christie. He's actually trainer, head coach, teammate, all the different things. And it's just something that I noticed that I was like, okay, this is cool.
I do appreciate his vibe. And I think this team needed it. I think this team was going through a major funk this year. You look at it based on the results, they were not playing to what they believe their potential was.
Yeah.
It's clear some of the guys were maybe not happy. They needed some love.
Yeah.
They needed some joy. And look, winning's going to help that.
Yes.
Now, what's going to look like if they go on a 3-game losing skid here. Right. You know, that joy could go away pretty fast. But at this moment, after a coaching change, it looks like they've responded pretty well.
Yeah. I think that's what you want to see. I was asked about that on the post game show. Like, is this just a big difference? Like, what's happening? Any type of change that happens in life is usually going to help this burst of energy, right? Whether it's a weird change, a good change, just a change, like you're going to feel something different. And sometimes that different can be channeled into something positive. And that's what we're seeing right now. And you're hoping that this is more of the real deal of the style, yeah, of the joy, of all the things that we're seeing. Because you know when adversity hits, things are going to be different. But let's see how this new Kings team under Doug Christie faces adversity when that does hit again.
Well, hopefully it's not anytime soon.
Well, it's the NBA. So
I know. All right, more on this game tonight. We mentioned Trey Lyles.
Uh-huh.
Let's hit the rookie Devin Carter for a second, hey, man. We watched this guy play last night in Stockton. We called this game, and I thought defensively he was just a beast. I think in that game he had 17 points. He led Stockton in rebounding with 12 rebounds. He had 7 assists, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. The game before that in Stockton, he had 29 points. So we find out, he's playing today. Oh, my God. He's going to make his debut with his dad in the building, which is really cool. Like, what are the odds? Anthony Carter, the 13-year NBA vet, is an assistant with the Memphis Grizzlies. He watched him play last night in Stockton. Then, of course, he's coaching tonight against him in the Memphis Grizzlies. So Devin ends up coming into this game for the first time at the 353 mark. And, dude, what an ovation he got.
How cool was that? Golden 1 Center popped. They got so excited for Devin as soon as he was checking in.
He ends up in this game playing just under 11 minutes. He did not score, but he had 5 rebounds and 2 assists during that time. Morgan?
Yes?
I know we were blown away by what he was doing defensively last night. His first NBA action, the biggest thing that jumped out to me is, dude, are his rebounds just loud? He just plays loud. I watch Devin Carter, and it's like I feel like there's a vibration in the arena. Like, to see him, to see him get some of these rebounds. Yeah, he had 5 rebounds in 11 minutes. He's a 6'3 guard, but he's got a knack for it. Oh, he's physical.
A feel.
Long, 6'9 wingspan. Yep. I love his motor.
Yeah, I think the instant energy that he provides as soon as he's out there, and that's being everywhere on the floor. He could fall on the ground and then still get back up and find the way to position himself to still get a rebound, right? Even if he doesn't have the greatest box out angle and putting a body on someone, it's because of his vert. It's because of his feel for the game and getting that ball. And it could even be a 50-50 ball. You saw at times when it would be fumbled around and he would be the one that would end up with it. And then the one I loved was when he was pushing it down the floor, slips, somehow finds a way to get it to Trey, gets that assist. Trey hits a transition 3. It's like the way that his mind works is what I feel like so far, is that he only sees one thing and he's going to get it done. And that's whether it's like one thing at a time, a rebound. I'm falling down. Got to get this ball to the open man trailing to, you know, down the right lane. Okay. I'm here. But okay, I got to close out on this guy because he's going to get a wide open look. Like, I feel like he's just a high processing guy out there on the floor while just contributing so much energy.
And he had a beautiful dish to Alex Len for the dunk too in transition.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. I was really impressed with what I saw during that stretch. And, you know, he shot it well from 3 in his 2 G League games. I believe he ended up being 10 for 19 from 3 in those 2 G League games. Shot it just under 38% last year at Providence. But, dude, you just see, like, the energy in the building. I know it was the first game, right? But, like, it did remind me a little bit when Davion was guarding someone for the first time in Sacramento. I think in that game it was Kings Jazz, and Davion was going up against Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Anyway, there was like juice in the building, right?
Yeah.
Devin's like picking up Scottie Pippen Jr. just full core. And then he had that one play where like Conchar was like fell to the ground with the ball and he rips the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you just felt the energy in the building shift a little bit. And I just think this guy has the chance to be a special defensive player because of how he goes after it, man. Like, he can blow up screens. He navigates screens. He he's not reckless, right? Like, he's going out there with a purpose. I mean, I saw him in a G League game. Harrison Ingram, the rookie from San Antonio, 6'6", has 3 inches on him. He's posting him up, trying to back him down. He's strong, stays with it, and blocks the guy's shot. What about that play at the end of the first half yesterday in Stockton?
Oh, my God. There was, what, under a second left.
Eight-tenths of a second left.
And we're just like, you know, we're going to go to break, and Memphis Hustle is going to just jack up a shot. So they get the ball inbounds, you know, to just get a quick release. Devin Carter blocks the shit out of a three-point shot. And we were like, what? How, like, where'd you even come from, right? And so,
yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you're seeing in his 11 minutes tonight, him being able to play this role where it's like all the little things that you want from a role player. And I think what you get to see too in Sacramento, you do that and you play that role at a high level, you're going to get a shit ton of love. Yeah. Like, you're going to get all the fans on your side. Obviously, if he can start knocking down some shots as well as he continues to grow in this league, absolutely. But man, when you have a guy doing those things, especially when you need someone providing those things on the defensive end and crashing the boards, it's great.
Just his third game back overall, right?
Yep.
He played the two G League games, played tonight, 3 games since March after surgery. So I think there's a lot of good stuff from him. And it's going to be interesting to see like what the rotation shakes out. Remember, Keegan didn't play again.
Yeah.
He's still dealing with the ankle thing. Keon got the start again, ends up playing just under 34 minutes. Fantastic. Just defensive pressure from Keon Ellis in this game tonight. But Devin plays, I mentioned, under 11. Kevin Huerter only played 14 minutes in this game tonight. So you get Keegan back in the full. I don't know how the hell you're going to juggle the minutes. It goes back to what we've said so many times. You're going to have to balance a roster at some point. And Devin Carter is a player that you're going to want playing minutes for your basketball team because of what he can provide out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, when you get to that problem, it's a good problem to have. Man. It's a good problem to have. But what I will say is that, look, that's when the adversity will start to hit, because some players won't be happy with their role, or they won't be happy with their minutes or what's happening.
Yep.
And that's like, I mean, that's bound to happen. So sure, you can communicate with people and be like, hey, you gotta, you know, play your role and understand what you can do out there still, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, some people still are just not going to be happy. So, yeah.
Or you could just balance a roster, and that makes it way easier.
Well, wouldn't that be such a simple fix?
Make it way easier.
Yeah.
To get Devin Carter some more run. Keon Ellis won the defensive player of the game crown tonight.
Hey.
He ends up in this game with 13 points, 5 of 11 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, 3 assists. He had 3 steals, 4 rebounds. And Morgan, he's another guy that looks like he's just playing with more confidence since the change. I'm just going to be honest. And I think part of it is like, it's something we've talked about a lot, is just allowing guys to be out there and be young and make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you bring them over and you go, hey, get your shit together.
Yep.
Let's go. And then they keep playing. Do you see that confidence from Keon a little more offensively?
Yeah. He's taking the ball in. He's understanding that, like, if he misses a shot, he's not going to, you know, be taken out of the game. He's still going to be able to do other things to make up for that. And you think about what he does defensively and the confidence that he gets to build on the defensive end. It only allows him to keep getting better and better on the offensive end as time keeps going.
Shout out to everyone hanging out with us late on a Friday night, a massive audience. If you have not hit the thumbs up yet, click that thumbs up, click the like button, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and tell like 80 of your friends, okay? We're just trying to grow this thing.
Only 80.
Basketball sickos around the world to be hanging out with us and checking out our content.
You have 80 friends?
I've got 1,000 here tonight. How you doing? Deuce Mason, everybody.
Yeah. Gross.
It's a basketball sicko community.
That's
man.
True. That's true.
Friends, man.
You're like, friends? No,
my
no,
bad.
This is family.
This is family.
Yeah!
Like Vin Diesel? One Keon play I wanted to mention real fast, second
what?
Quarter, he was attacking Zach Edey.
Wait, and who was?
Keon Ellis.
Okay.
He was attacking Zach Edey, gave him a little ball like he was going to dish it to Domantas Sabonis, and it got Edey to leave for a second, and he got the space to get the floater. I'm like, dude, that's the confidence,
the
Keon. Don't just go right at the 7'4 behemoth, the giant, the Big Show Zach Edey. Like, get him to bite on a little fake and then get your shot. That's growth from Keon Ellis, yeah, which is very encouraging to see.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Just adding other things, yeah, to his games, making sure that he was still continuing to attack. And, you know, 3 assists, still finding the open man as well while crashing the boards, 4 rebounds. But who are you going to next? Because you
pick next. I picked the first couple. I've given Trey Love, Keon, and Devin. We're going with, like, all the role guys.
Perfect. I want to go Malik Monk because you just talked about making the right play, making the smart play. And let's talk about whenever he got Zach Edey on him on that switch and he attacked the shit out of it.
I am so glad, Morgan, because it took him a little too long, in my opinion, to attack that Zach Edey switch. Mm. DeMar, I feel like, started it.
Oh, my God.
Got a little midi over Zach Edey. And then Malik did the same thing. Malika, that step back three.
Game over, baby. That was so nasty. It was so confident. He already knew what he wanted to do as soon as he got Zach Edey on him on that step back three. He was like, just the quick little footwork, boom, create enough space. But then when he attacked him and just like got Zach Edey to stand up, I mean, it's not like Zach Edey's sitting down in a defensive stance. You know, it's crazy.
Someone said today he is actually 6'8 sitting down. Isn't that insane?
Nobody said that, right?
No.
Okay.
It's just a joke because he's 70 so big. Never mind.
I mean, I kind of believed you. Because, like, sitting down? I was sitting down in a stance.
I meant sitting down on the floor.
Okay. Oh, got it. See, that's where...
Someone told me he's 6'8", sitting down. Then you would have gotten it. Was a joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, got it. Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, Zach Edey, when he obviously wasn't sitting down in a defensive stance, just Monk attacking that, going strong to the basket, being crafty in the paint. It was beautiful. What did Monk have in the fourth quarter?
11 points on 4 of 6 shooting. He ends up with a season high 31 points on 11 of 20. He was 6 of 12 from downtown, had 6 dimes in this game as well in his 33 minutes.
Yeah.
It
was really exciting to watch. And you look at the 3-pointers that he was knocking down as well. They were just so huge. They were so huge, but I keep using the word confidence, so I feel like I need to find a different word, because the way that some of these guys were just shooting in rhythm tonight, whether it was a step back, whether it was just the ball was swinging to them, they'd get in the shooter's pocket, and it was just a quick release, quick decisions. It was crisp.
Yeah, and again, it always looks better when shots fall, but again, it's about the shots that they were creating.
Yep.
And Memphis does a good job in defending the three. In fact, coming into this game tonight, opponents were shooting just 33% from three against Memphis. That's the best mark in the league. 33%. That's it. And so we see that number and you go, oh, the Kings are a bad 3-point shooting team. Well, what's that going to look like? Well, tonight, 44.7% for Sacramento. So that was obviously kind of a swing in this game for sure for the Kings. And they forced Memphis into 17 turnovers that turned into 19 points, a +7 advantage for Sacramento. The Kings got destroyed on the glass, 51-37.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, usually when you lose in those categories for the Kings, it's always an automatic loss. But what saved them was the 3-point shooting. Seriously. Like, that's been something, a theme all year long. We're like, wait, there's people that can shoot the basketball. And I know we mentioned Kevin Huerter are only playing a certain amount of minutes, but he's struggling. He's still struggling. And so you have, like, you got to find a way to still give other guys these minutes in this time without obviously dumping on Kevin. You got to make sure you give him a long enough leash so he can maybe try to figure something out. But if he's not giving you what you need and he's letting Luke Kennard go by him and all these things, I know.
Luke Kennard was really good tonight.
He was. God.
You know, because everyone looks at Luke Kennard and goes, oh, he's just a shooter. Well, tonight he didn't really shoot the ball well, but the guy almost had a triple-double.
Yeah.
11 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. He was massive for them, and he was beating guys off the dribble, just making the simple play. He was really good tonight. Before we give some Memphis love, because we got to shout out Jalen Wells, the local product from Folsom High.
Yes.
How about Sacramento stand up? I've never seen so many people, family members, and friends there for a player in my life. After the game, you see a lot of families who come watch their, you know, kids play, and it's after a game, it's like, oh, there's like 10 people there,
sometimes 20.
There was well over 100 for Jalen Wells, who was awesome in this game. We'll talk about him in a bit. So we got to Malik Monk. Yeah, we've said it, dude. His confidence means everything, and I think he's playing loose. Everybody's playing loose right now. DeMar DeRozan with 29 points in this game, 4 of 7 from 3. What were we going to say?
Was just really quick going to say, because I don't think you were going to play it, but what I asked Malik Monk after the game.
Yeah, what did you ask him? I don't have it.
It's okay. So after the game, we got to talk to Malik Monk, and I asked him about just being in that zone and, like, what's that like? And I wish I had his exact answer. It was loud. But the way he was describing the feeling, it was so cool to listen to his breakdown of what it's like being in the zone, of just almost feeling nothing and just you're just flowing and feeling good. And I'm just like, you are a freaking hooper.
Ooh, the flow state, man.
That's deep. He said, so hopefully I got that right. But if I find it, I'll make sure to post it. But either way, yes, Malik Monk moving on to DeMar DeRozan, who also had a huge fourth quarter.
Dude, he was hitting threes. Yeah, DeMar, 13 points in the fourth quarter, 5 of 7 from downtown, hitting that corner three.
Yeah, what is up with this? What is up with that?
I don't know what's more surprising, that the fact that he hit four or that he took seven. Seven is a really high number for DeMar DeRozan.
He saw him.
Yeah.
He wanted them. Like, that's, it was, I think, again, it was in the flow of the game. It was,
and
like,
then he had the one, oh my God, late, that I was like, why is he taking that? And he got fouled. He felt Jaren Jackson fouled. And then he goes to the line in a close game. It's 2:49 to go. And he goes 1 of 3 from the line. All I was thinking about is, like, if the Kings lose this game,
and we have to look back at those
and we have
free
to
throws.
Look back at your goddamn free throws. I am
from DeMar
DeRozan.
From DeMar DeRozan, who makes his free throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been shitty.
Next guy, we should talk about De'Aaron Fox. A weird game for him.
Yeah.
23 points. He was just 7 of 23. 1 of 8 from 3. 8 of 9 at the free throw line. That 1-3 came late in the fourth quarter, I believe. Or it came in the fourth quarter. I thought I wrote it down. But his first three of the game came in the fourth quarter. Fox also had 3 steals in this game, and he played just under 40 minutes. He was missing a lot of looks tonight. They were being so physical with him. I thought there was an opportunity for him not to take some threes, but I think he was also like, I'm getting my ass beat right now, so I'm not going to do this. But that was like my nitpick with him. I thought the one good thing he provided tonight, he was pushing like crazy. Again, I go back to what I said at the start of this podcast. This team is playing with the pace they played with 2 years ago. That hasn't been there. And Fox is like the guy that has to do it. He's got to be the one that push. And him getting downhill just creates and draws attention. And so when he kicks it around and that ball swinging around, that shit's created from De'Aaron. And I thought he did a great job tonight. Missed some looks, but fourth quarter, gets double figures with 11.
Yeah, and I think...
Or 12 points.
You know,
points.
Missing some of those looks too. I'm like, there's those lulls. I feel like he had some lulls like in the game or whatever, where I'm just like, okay, well, other guys just need to step up then within those lulls, you know? And so then, because obviously not enough defense was being played where Memphis was still making their shots. So when De'Aaron isn't getting his, like, how can the rest of the team kind of like back him up? Because I didn't feel like every attempt he was taking was a bad possession. No. But you're right, some of the threes that you specifically mentioned definitely weren't the greatest. But yeah, it's like you said, being played so physically like that and not getting some of those calls, it can be really deflating. And to keep going and to not get too angry can be difficult. And that's why when he came down and fouled Scottie Pippen Jr. on the head,
that was the weirdest foul I've ever seen in my life. So he was getting bumped a lot on the other end, didn't get a call. Then the next play down, which this is what happens with De'Aaron, he gets angry and it goes angry Fox mode. Pippen's attacking. He goes to contest it and then, like, he grabs his head.
So he tried. Why? So this is what happened. He literally was going for the ball first.
Okay.
The intent for sure.
And then he went, I'm going to rip his head off.
Intent was 100% the ball. And then once he didn't hit the ball and he hit the head, he kept following through his arm.
That's a dangerous play. You're going to break the guy's neck.
I know,
man.
But like, I can relate. So I understand that. Sometimes you just see red and you just black out. And when adrenaline hits and you're just fucking pissed, you're like, no.
That got the emotions going a little bit on that play, right?
It did.
Because
everyone,
the whole coaching staff of the Grizzlies, like, jumps up, like, oh, he grabbed his head. And then you see, like, yeah, he grabbed his head. Yeah. So that ended up being a flagrant foul, penalty one. And this was a tight game at the time, right? The Kings lost the lead after that. That was early in the fourth quarter. Well, not early. It was in the fourth quarter. So that was around 7:56. Fox drive, thought he got fouled, and then he really hard foul on Scottie Pippen Jr. And then you had to play late.
Yeah.
Fox is at the top of the key, and he is, I mean, he got grabbed like five times. Like, I was getting pissed seeing how much he was getting grabbed, and he's looking at the ref, no call. And so Fox goes, fuck this shit. I'm attacking. And I'm like, oh my God, he's going. This is Angry Fox igniting. And he's going up for the jam with the left. And it's going to be a nasty jam. Jaren Jackson coming over to contest gives him just a slight little boom as he's airborne. While at the same time, De'Aaron comes down and like elbows him.
That wasn't slight, by the way.
What?
By Jaren Jackson Jr.
It's like that. I mean, it's a dangerous play.
When
you're airborne, it only takes a slight bump.
Like the force against the force. I was like, what were you thinking? Like, it's just so clumsy.
It was a clumsy play.
Yeah.
I don't think he was like, hey, I'm going to take out De'Aaron Fox.
No. I think it was the same thing. Just like, pissed he wasn't there in time, but was like, I'm not going to get vertical, so I'm just going to try and like fuck with him a little bit. And it's like, no, you can't do that when the fastest player on the floor is going full force.
Someone on Twitter just let us know about this too, that on that play where Fox grabbed his head, it looks like Fox took an elbow right there.
Ooh,
all right, good, okay. good eye. Something funny that was also on social media after the game was seeing a Grizzlies content guy, Ling Whitaker, who I've seen over the years. He used to work for NBA.com.
Yeah.
He works for the Grizzlies, and it's fine. But he was saying that he doesn't think that should have been a flagrant foul.
Oh, why?
On Jaren Jackson Jr. after that play.
On Jaren Jackson. Well, I mean, no, it is. Even if the intent doesn't matter within the foul.
Well, he said, laugh my ass off. Tyler Ford just said De'Aaron Fox elbowing Jaren Jackson in the face was a normal basketball move. Travis responds with, generally when you're brutally undercut while midair, it's hard to control your body, which is fair. Lang says, look, it was Grizzlies' crappy defense in the first half that set the tone, and this one, Kings won it. Should have been a foul on Fox. Multiple things can be true at once.
Man.
Wow.
Well, and it's interesting when someone has a different perspective.
But here's my thing. Let's not be that big of homers all the time where we can't even like see what happened on the play. Jill Adge did a great job of showing him this picture of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
The contacts are even made by Jaren Jackson before De'Aaron Fox hits Jaren Jackson in the face.
I love that you say that because someone, like, as I was just saying for Fox, like, yeah, he sees red and blah, blah. Someone's like, Morgan is such a Fox apologist. No, I'm just breaking down what a basketball player probably saw within that moment. I'm sorry that it was Fox. But yeah, you look at this moment as well. The momentum.
You know, it cracks me up because, you know, having Fox on our podcast was like the best thing ever. It's also the worst thing because it's like anything, if we were ever like talking about the game, it's like, oh, dude, it's because you guys had Fox on the pod. Like, dude.
Here's what I know about that family. Here's what I know about that family. Like, Rosé would be disgusted by me if I was making excuses for De'Aaron Fox. Like, no. You talk about basketball the right way, okay?
Yeah, but I felt like Fox was just going up for a hard jam, and like, and you cock back, man. You know, as someone who dunks all the time, right?
Yeah,
I've been there. Right?
You're such a dunker.
But I also don't think Jaren Jackson was being dirty. That's why it's just a flagrant foul penalty one. It was just a reckless play. If it was intentional, that'd be a flagrant two. So after that play, Jaren Jackson's hot because he got in the face. He's like, I got elbowed. This guy already hit my teammate Scottie Pippen, grabbing his head.
Yeah.
Doug Christie was getting a little after a Jaren Jackson Jr. too. He was one of the first ones on the floor. But Fox took a hard-ass spill on that play.
That was scary. It was scary. And look, maybe if Fox didn't take such a hard spill, we're even talking about something different, where the refs are like, no, like, everyone's fine. And, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. was just being clumsy. By the way, Wasn't that his sixth foul? And he picked up all six fouls in the fourth?
Dude, that was crazy.
Like, what? What was he all of a sudden doing? Just not disciplined, not good at just playing defense there in that fourth quarter when they needed him most.
He was also playing physical. That's just his style. I mean, he's done some really good things defensively for them. But, yeah, six fouls for him in that fourth quarter. So he fouls out in that play. But, yeah, I mean, I hope Fox is okay after that. Like, he's going to be really sore after that play. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be hurting a lot in the morning.
Do you want to hear some Doug Christie after this game? Get his perspective on what the Kings were able to do tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies.
The number was 40, 32 assists, 31 sprays.
Wow.
A team that turns you over, only 10 turnovers. There's a lot of good. We're going to do some learning defensively. We still got to keep growing, but it's always goodwill while you're learning if you can win ball games. And tonight we were able to do that. Again, super, super proud of the way that the guys fought, gave up the lead, and then challenged them again, and they responded, which is, like, for me, super big time.
Doug, first of all, is De'Aaron all right after the big fall?
I mean, I'm not sure. I hope so. Those are just tough things. I mean, we're out there battling. It's part of what we do, and you never want to see a player, especially of his caliber, playing the way that he's playing. That it's super, super unfortunate. But I'm not sure yet, you know. Just somebody who did it, like, adrenaline is one thing. Sleep and waking up in the morning is something totally different. Yeah.
And your team showed some fight tonight that, you know, whether it was that situation or earlier in the game, just how big is that they're showing that?
That's what I want, but that's also what I expect out of them. It's like, listen, we're going to have bad plays. We're going to have bad runs. I might, you know, whatever goes on in there. But the one thing that we're going to continue to do is fight until the very end. Like, that is really, it's the only chance that you have in this league, is that you continue to play really hard at a high level for as long as you possibly can, regardless of the calls, regardless of the opponent hitting shots, get it back in and right back at them. Now we have to do that with some pace and understanding of time and score, and trying to not only keep a lead but extend a lead. There's some things, like, we'll continue to grow there, but the fight was super high level, super, super high level.
You mentioned 43 point attempts kind of being the mark you're looking for. You had 13 attempts just between DeMar and Domas. Curious with those two guys specifically, you know, three maybe not being a large part of their shot profile. What's your messaging to them on how aggressive they should be there?
I'm not saying don't shoot the basketball. I mean, like, if we miss a couple, you probably want to drive to the hole a couple times and find a rhythm. They collapse the defense, kick it back out, and shoot it again. I'm okay with that. The number for me is 40. That's, I don't know how we get there. Don't really care how we get there. Like, we want our best players shooting the ball, obviously, but the spray, playing off to, getting in the paint, collapsing the defense, finding your teammates, there's energy in that. There's a selflessness in that that's contagious, and when you do it, the shot is more likely to go in than it, you know, you're dribbling and you're pounding and then you pull up. And that happens sometimes. Like, listen, we got guys who can do that and they can just go get a bucket. But we want to play team basketball, and that's what you do. You share the rock, and it might not be for you. You might collapse the defense so somebody else gets money.
Doug, a trait of this team seems to be when one guy's on, everybody is on. Or at the same time, if one guy's struggling, then everybody seems to be struggling. What is it about the cohesiveness of this group and how they all seem to impact and feed off of each other?
It's something that I think the negative part, if I guess negative, whatever, bad part that you just said is the struggle. But the good part is what I focus on. Like, we are about joy for us and taking it from the opponent. And that's what we want to do. And that's what we want to focus on. Mistakes are made. Don't look over here. Keep playing. Like, play through the mistakes. It happens. This game is actually about who makes the least amount of mistakes. So they're going to get made. It's, like, not a big deal. Like, if it's super big, like, there'll be a timeout and we'll talk about it. But the point is, you continue to fight. You continue to play to the next play with speed, aggressiveness, downhill, and looking to take joy.
Oh, dog, I want to take joy from every team the Kings play. I love that line.
We're about playing with joy and taking joy away from opponents.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, dude. I'll run through.
I'll give him 10 good minutes out there if he needs it.
I think there's certain.
I'm playing ball tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Wow, look at you.
Oh man, I'm gonna be taking joy from my opponent tomorrow.
Are you? Yeah. How are you gonna do that?
We play with violent aggression.
There we go.
Just like Doug Christie told me.
Taking it.
Honestly, I love that shit.
Doug Christie is coaching us all.
His message. What was your thoughts on what Douglas had to say? Dale Christie had to say.
Yes. I think Coach Christie and his approach to everything, like even the threes, right? He's talking about taking these threes, but obviously if you start missing them, you got to make sure you are taking it in, see the ball go through the hoop. And that is something that, like, I've been saying all goddamn season, mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, even Coach Brown would say, hey, if there's an open three, we got to take it. Like, a three is hard in the NBA. You just got to take it. And I'm like, bro, no, we got to see the ball go through the rim. Like, a two is better than a zero. Yeah. You know, like, when are we going to see that? And what you're seeing is the understanding of not just, like, the analytical side of just, like, threes make the world go round. The best three, the best shot, the best possession on the offensive end is what is going to help a team win. Obviously, getting stops on the other end help, but that's where Doug is saying that's where you take the joy from people, because then you are also, if you're playing some hard defense and really defending and protecting the rim, you're going to steal that joy from your opponents.
And there are going to be times, you know, I'm sure as Doug coaches, that he's going to pull someone from because they make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think there have been too many times where guys make mistakes and they're looking over their shoulder thinking they're going to be out. Oh, I got my 2 minutes. I'm not playing.
Yeah.
For a while. And now it's like he was just saying, we're going to make mistakes. Like, and let's keep playing.
Like I said, I personally don't think anything's wrong with Mike Brown's coaching
it's
style.
It's a different approach. That's all I'm saying.
Like, and I just think, I truly think it does depend on your personnel. And we are also in a league where it's a player's league, but at times when there's just, like, not enough confidence in a head coach, it's like, well, you really have a lot of pressure on you too. And then when you start playing or coaching with desperation, that's going to bleed into your team. And I feel like that's kind of what was happening. So with Doug right now, he's in a good place where I feel like there's not a lot of pressure on, because it's like, look, the team wasn't playing well before you. So what can you do with this roster? While the front office is still probably like, okay, we still need to make tweaks to this roster as well. So Doug's approach to everything right now, I just love it. He's focused on ball and what he has at hand.
One of the things I wanted to talk about that I failed to mention was the third quarter start, where Keon Ellis had some tough moments picking up a few quick fouls. He picks up his fourth foul after trying to fight through a screen. That was at the 10:58 mark of the third. And that was an example of, is he going to take him out here?
Yeah.
And you could have made a good case. Like, it's his fourth foul. We need him later. He kept him out there. And how about, like, the Kings just, like, playing with physicality after that? I mean, they were getting out run. You had that wild sequence where Keon tried to throw a lob to Monk. That was really such a bad lob. But Keon was there, was able to finish. That was great. And then the Kings had forced those turnovers, and it just shifted the momentum. They ended up going on a 9-0 run after that. got a 15-point lead. Like, Keon had that play where he just ripped the ball away and the Kings were off to the races.
A really pretty couple of possessions defensively and offensively, and just what it did for the flow and the momentum. And like you said, even when Keon was able to clean up his mistake, because wasn't it Triple J that was back? Blocked the alley-oop in transition. And that's where I was like, what are we doing? And then when he finished, I was like, okay, I don't care how you score, just score. He ended up scoring. But those fouls in the third quarter were tough for everyone, putting the Grizzlies into the penalty just so quickly. It was really tough to see. And the Kings taking on that adversity and turning it into, channeling into this energy and this pace that they wanted to play with was great.
The other fun play was DeMar DeRozan. After that whole Fox flagrant foul situation, Fox, you know, of course, goes to the free throw line. Then the Kings get possession after that. DeMar DeRozan showing that he can duck. His old teammate, Vucevic, after the game, was like tweeting about it. Like, you could still dunk, DeMar?
Like
dude,
that.
Dude, he got Jay Huff so bad on that move. And then the reverse jam. That was pretty sick.
Oh, my God. Getting Jay Huff to go one way, DeMar barely had to turn back the other way. He did not have to have like the quick, you know, like Malik Monk's very quick on a spin or like going back another way. DeMar was just like, yoink, going back the other way, baseline, throws it down on Jay Huff. That was so much fun to watch. The entire bench was just up, screaming, excited, joyful. It was great.
Yeah. A big-time win for the Kings tonight. Mm-hmm. 138 points against a really good team. The Grizzlies, 23-12, still second in the West, of course, playing without Ja Morant tonight. How about any other Kings things you want to hit? Because we got to give some love to Jalen Wells.
I'm ready to give some love to Jalen Wells.
Jalen Wells, with all the family in attendance. And look, he's been playing some really good basketball.
Both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the game the other night against Phoenix when they had a nice win shorthanded against the Suns. Look like a mess and a half.
Yeah.
That team is on shaky ground.
Love it.
Really shaky ground.
Love it.
But in that game, his defensive pressure on Devin Booker was fantastic. And then there was a stretch he had to try to defend Kevin Durant. He's super versatile. Tough,
yep,
can shoot it, and you see it on display tonight. Like, he just looks like a very comfortable, he doesn't look like a rookie out there, and that's probably like the best compliment that Taylor Jenkins trusts this guy to go out there and not only just be in the starting lineup, but go play your game. He plays with force, plays with an edge, and tonight hitting how many threes did he end up? Eight of nine. He hit that one at the end of the game for three. That was awesome. 30 points for him in his homecoming.
And those were disappointing times where I'm like, for the Kings, like, if he knocks down five, you should just be all up in his jersey. But that's another point.
But Morgan, there was times he actually was just making contested ones.
100%.
Too.
And he was. And that's why we're giving love to Jalen Wells right now. And you look at his stat line too, Deuce, and you just look at how efficient he was from three, from the field. He did not have a single free throw attempt within his 30 points. So none of his points were even made at the free throw line. They were just made just balling out, getting into the paint, getting to the rim, shooting from the outside, still getting five boards as well, just crashing the boards. And the energy, the life that he gave this Grizzlies team, especially when they're missing so many guys. Yeah, it was exciting to see just because you knew who he was playing in front of.
Yeah, the Grizzlies do not have Ja Morant, Marcus Smart in this one. GG Jackson, Vince Williams, they've missed the whole year, but they did get some guys back in their lineup tonight, including Zach Giddey, Jack LaRavia. Those guys were questionable for this game. But yeah, Jalen Wells, shout out to him. He's been awesome. And I just like their story overall. Like, Scottie Pippen is someone that was in the G League, right? Jay Huff, someone who's in the G League. They've got a lot of guys that just... It's really a credit to Taylor Jenkins, what he's built there. I mean, they have a culture. They have an identity, and they play hard. Last year when their defensive rating was good, despite the fact that they had all these injuries, you know, they had like 40 different players last year.
All those different lineups. Dude. Yep.
And that you still had that compete. And guys earn opportunity because of that, because they just come out there and play the right way. And there are times last year they had a G League team out there, and they were out there competing. Even if they lost, they were just playing hard all the time.
It was always tough.
And what that did for someone like Scottie Pippen Jr., who here he is getting some good minutes, 16 points for him in this game.
Got to start the game.
Dude.
Yeah.
So I like how they're running their offense this year, playing with such great pace, a lot of cutting.
Well, even that's the thing with Memphis. Even if they are down guys, they're a league pass team. Like, you should watch their game, because no matter what, every single time you're going to see a good game, a good style of basketball from them. That's fun to watch. And I mean, you think about some of their numbers, God, that you threw at me before the game that I wish I could get to, but like,
fourth in defensive rating, they're sixth in offense.
We already mentioned the how they do defending the three for opponents.
Yeah, 33% allowed. Then you have the points in the paint. They're fantastic at with
the fast break points, the way that they were pushing, anytime that they got the ball out, put it to Bane would push. I was just like, holy shit, everyone turn around. Let's go. Game is still going. Things were just flowing fast. Yeah, it's a and I think that's why, because I knew they were going to come in like this. I didn't know what it was going to look like with so many guys, so many guys, but I was worried for the Kings, and that's why it makes me even more excited about this Kings win.
You keep saying so many guys, and I'm not trying to say, I mean, they're down John Morant and Marcus Smart. I'm not counting GG and Vince Williams, because they haven't played this year.
That's no.
They got guys back.
And you're right.
And
I'm sorry.
John Morant's a big one to lose.
It is, but it's also like,
and this shorthanded team beat Phoenix the other night on the road.
And going into this game, they were obviously, weren't they down like Brandon Clark? Weren't they still down guys? And so in my mind, I was going into this game very shorthanded, but you're right. They ended up having more guys playing. So not super shorthanded, but the amount of adjustments that they still had to make to the starting lineup and everything as well.
Shout out to Jim, super chat, $10 saying, hey guys, how about a Devin Carter breakdown? Seems to show good floor IQ. Yeah, we did a film breakdown today on his defensive plays in the G League, but I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about Devin Carter. But in terms of just talking about him tonight, we hit on it a little bit earlier, but yeah, I think he's got a really good feel for the game. And it's probably helps that his dad, you know, played 13 years in the league too, but he's just a really talented player. And I think he has the right demeanor. He plays with a swagger and a confidence, and then he brings it defensively. And you just love guys like that who have the size, right? Like, we all love Davion Mitchell, off night, what a nickname. The thing that hurts Davion most, well, one, is just the inconsistency shooting throughout his career. He was really good at times last year. But defensively, there's just going to be tough matchups where Davion works his ass off, plays great defense, and guys are just able to get shots over him.
Yeah.
Well, it's just different when you're 6'3 with a 6'9 wingspan and a 42-inch vertical. Like, he's an athletic freak. It's just a little different. Mr. Angel says, when I say defense, it wasn't throughout the game, but it was when it mattered most. Keon coming up big. They didn't care. It was a different intensity. They got it going when they needed it.
Agreed.
It matters.
Agreed. Yep.
Anthony donates $10 saying, I don't want to throw dirt on Mike, but.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's a but. When Keon picked up three quick fouls and they opened the second half, Doug let him stay in. He sparked 7-0 run. Seems significant. Never would have happened with Mike. Mike would let his stars maybe do that. I don't know that he would have let Keon in that moment.
I think that's his point.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah, and that's a gamble a little bit, but you're right. And look, Keon got it together. And how many fouls did Keon Ellis end with?
Four fouls. That's when he picked it. Yeah.
That's a good chip.
Figured out a way.
Exactly. So that's a great point. Geeky Nana donates $2 saying, appreciate you both and everyone here. Appreciate you. And Miggy donates $10 talking about how we're his second favorite podcast.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
He's been a Kings fan since he was 9. He's now 34. Love the passion you guys have for this team. Appreciate it. And shout out to our guy Oleg donating $5. Felt like a playoff game. The crowd responded tonight. Dude, the crowd has been awesome lately. Like, the energy in the building, and I don't know if it's like a sense of desperation. And part of it is like the team is starting to put it together a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you're giving this crowd a reason to cheer, especially after all those times that they were showing up, even during the bad times.
A lot of people in the chat are typing over and over again, Trey Lyles.
Trey.
I'll keep saying Trey until it gets talked about. Okay. Who's with me? We did talk about Trey Lyles early. You must have missed it. He was like one of the first guys we talked about. But dude, Trey Lyles, he's been on the tear. It makes a world of difference when Trey Lyles is knocking down shots. He's moving well. I had mentioned this earlier. The play he had where he drove by Zach Edey in attack there mode, got to Sabonis, was a beautiful play.
One of the
and he's knocking down threes. Three straight games with, I believe, 14 or more, something like that. He's playing some great basketball right now.
And making his shots. And
we're Trey Bays. Just so you know, we may be a little different. We led the show talking about Trey Lyles, Devin Carter, and Keon Ellis.
Oh, and by the way, we talked to Trey. Well, not we, but I talked to Trey after the game on the post-game show, and he was talking about simplifying the offense and free-flowing, all the different things. But then I asked him, I was like, hey, what was being said in that scrum, you know, when everyone was talking to Jaren Jackson Jr. after that play? And he's like, I don't know, I wasn't in there, but if I was...
he would have mixed it up a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Are you happy, Big Tone? You should have hit the rewind, too. You would have heard it earlier, but we got you a little more Trey love. Also, a poll question that we have tonight.
Yes.
Are you starting to believe again? Kings at 16-19. They've won three in a row, getting ready for a matchup on Sunday against the Golden State Warriors, who also play tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Are you starting to believe again? The options, yes. The next one, no, don't fall for it. And I never stopped.
Do you believe? The beam.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How's it go after that?
I can feel something inside of me. I really think this Kings is winning. Oh, wait. This Kings is winning?
I don't know. It's your song.
No, I mean, that wasn't the lyrics.
Bring
I don't
me the beam, boys, and free my soul.
Bring me the beam, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away.
Give me the beam, boys, and free my soul. What was the next part? There's another.
I know. Okay.
Dude, this is random. I did that fake cigarette thing because I just saw something pop up on my feed today, and it was the Giant, aka Big Show, in the NWO, and he was wrestling a match where he was smoking a cigarette the whole time, and he was like trying to finish his cigarette. The guy kept attacking him, and he kept smoking, knock him away, smoke some more. Guy kept attacking him. He finally got irritated, put the cigarette back in his mouth, and then choke slammed him and won the match 1-2-3, and then kept smoking.
Was it a real cigarette?
I was wondering that.
Probably was.
That'd be cool.
Back in the day, if Big Show, did he have hair?
Yeah.
Oh, then it was a real cigarette.
It's a Big Show. what was the Keon Ellis song you did at the live show?
Yeah, I can't do that one right now, but
just one more. Just try a little bit of it.
Play defense, play for the year, play for the fans, play for the year, the cheer, okay, or something like that. Play defense just for one play. Maybe tomorrow you'll get a play in every game. Keon, 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 play them again tonight. You.
Dude,
okay.
Such a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So great. That was fun. So that was great. Fun. Are you starting to believe again? This is what we started with here.
Yeah.
58% of people saying yes, they're starting to believe again, Morgan. Hey. 26% saying no, don't fall for it. And 16% say, I never stopped.
Oh, that one's cute.
I should have added a different option because I don't think I fall with any of these. I'm like, we'll see. We'll see.
But that's like a yes then. Yes.
No, that's we'll see.
I never stopped in yes. If you had to pick one of those, you got to go with yes.
I'm not voting. I don't have to vote this time.
You have to.
No.
Or you'll die.
I need to see more. I'm sorry. I'm not going to just... I believe again. Like, it's great. I like how they're playing. You got the stupid Warriors coming up on Sunday, dude.
You do have the stupid Warriors coming up on Sunday.
We've got more. We got to talk about that game, anything we miss. And there's a few things around the NBA that we have to talk about, including Jimmy Butler. An incredible game by Oklahoma City tonight. An amazing comeback. Showdown between Jokic and Wemby. That was a classic. We'll do that in a second, but we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. And we are all one with Golden One. Hey, it's smart to be with Golden One Credit Union because you could join for up to 50% off Kings home games.
Yeah, and there's so much more, too. There's 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings store. The chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games. Remember, it's usually Scott Freshour being like, wave that card up in the air. And then it's like, yeah, okay, get upgraded. Also, I've seen people win like money after shooting free throws and stuff on the floor. So all you have to do is scan that QR code and start your new fun financial journey today.
We're going to GoldenOne.com. Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. We are all one with Golden One. Also presented today by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Hey, if you need new windows on your house, there's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors. It'll change your home for the good. You'll feel safer, energy efficient, and your house value goes up because you got some sexy ass windows on them.
And don't be intimidated if you're like, okay, it's a new year, can I even afford this? That we just had the holidays, all the different things. Just reach out for a free quote today, because they are having a whole bunch of deals that are going to go through March, and it's for the 30th anniversary sale. So you can like purchase 7 windows and a patio door for a huge discount. And there's 100% financing available, and all you do is call for all of these details.
Yeah, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Thank you.
Player of the game tonight. Where are you going with player? There's some great candidates tonight. Were you going DeMar? Have we really talked about Sabonis tonight? He had 17 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists.
That was the one we probably didn't talk about.
I think we mentioned early his threes were big.
Oh, yes, we did. Downtown.
Yeah, I felt like the matchups inside were really challenging. I mean, they being physical with Edie and Jackson, that's not easy. Sabonis was battling down there. Anyway.
I'm laughing because someone is going back to what I said. I said, Deuce, you have to choose an answer or you'll die, Deuce. Nah, I'm good. yeah, I'm going to go with, you know, I really, Malik is up there for me, but DeMar is really up there too. So I'm pretty
What's
much,
the chat think though? I'm just curious about that. DeMar DeRozan is Morgan's pick for simply the best player of the game. He had 29 points, 5 assists, 10 of 18 shooting, 4-7 from downtown, 5 of 7 at the line.
You waiting in for the chat?
I was going to just chime in.
Monk or Wells? Wow.
We're not going Wells tonight.
Not after the Kings win.
We gave Jalen Wells a ton of love. Folsom High School. Sacramento. Memphis.
Wow, 2 people say Monk or Wells. Get out of here. Opponents are only for like really bad losses. Yeah. Really bad losses. Someone said Keon. Has to be Monk, says Julian. Hey!
I'm giving some Malik Monk. Simply the best player of the game. A season high 31 points. He knocked down 11 of 20 shots. 6 of 12 from beyond the arc for Malik Monk. Are simply the best player of the game. Presented by friends of our Northwest Exteriors.
Hell yeah.
Around the NBA, there's been a lot going on recently. We did get one Kings-related item today. Sasha Vezenkov had some things to say about Mike Brown. Adam dropped in the chat, too. Thanks for the assist. My experience with Mike Brown was not the best. I would never criticize his knowledge, but speaking of communication, I can't say that our conversations were correct. He was not honest. That was the translation. And he also suggested that Sabonis would be playing better now.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I know.
Damn. And you know, when he's probably asked about it, he's probably like, these comments aren't going anywhere. And it's like, no, these comments are going.
They're
going
to stay here. Right? They're going to blow up everywhere. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I get, like, think about it from his perspective. He was a year-long MVP. He comes over to Sacramento. I think he's going to play a big role. And then he gets banged up a few times. He gets yanked a ton in and out of the rotation. I mean, at one point, I think you joked at one point, like, hey, what is he wearing on his shoes? Or is he wearing cinder blocks as shoes? That's how he moves on defense. That's what you said at one point. And I was like, dude, cooled a little bit. But,
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not surprised. No. I mean, he went back. And he left the NBA.
And that's the thing. He left the NBA so he can say what he wants. And I don't think that he's a bad guy and he's trying to, like, spread bad things. I think he's just saying what his experience was.
And it goes to a larger point where, like, and we've seen it this year. There were times last year where we're like, hey, can you just play Sasha 15 minutes? And we've said that a lot. So that's where it's at. I mean, I'm not going to spend the whole year, like, looking back at Mike Brown's hair and go, whoa, maybe he made some mistakes. It's like, dude, yeah, he got let go. He wasn't perfect. And we did a whole podcast about the fact that, like, yeah, these are some of his mistakes. And, oh, the front office could have done this. The players could have done this. Like, when you are off to this type of start, there's a lot of blame to go around.
And there can be so much that's true to it. You know, I think some people, like, always just want to start hating because they're like, we have to hate because losing was happening. And now we have to move on. And then you're hearing bad things come out. And it's like, no, you can still appreciate for the culture, the Beam team, all the different things that he did bring. And even through these mistakes and the adversity that was hitting this year, it's like, he's human. Things aren't going to be perfect. And look, like, you know, some people are in these job fields where you just get fired, but you get to run off with 20 mil. And so, like, yeah, I don't think he's a bad person. No, I think he's a basketball mind.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
So anyway.
And as far as Sasha, it's like, yeah, he's back home now. He's making good money. He didn't work out here and you move on.
Yeah.
You know? Jimmy Butler's been in the news because yesterday had the press conference. A weird last couple of games for Jimmy. I turned on one of his games, I think two games ago, and there was like 11 on the shot clock, and he's in the corner just with just this random like one-legged three-point attempt clank. I'm like, this is where we're at with the Jimmy Butler experience. And then he didn't take a lot of shots yesterday. He was asked after the game, can he get his joy back in Miami? And he's talking about how, like, he's happy off the court in Miami, but no, he can't get it back in Miami. So there's so much talk about, dude, are they going to trade him? Pat Riley and the Heat put that statement out saying they're not trading him. Well, after Jimmy said what he said about that joy, he said, I want to see me getting my joy back, playing basketball, wherever that may be. We'll find out here pretty soon. I'm happy here off the court, but I want to be back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop, and I want to help this team win, and right now I'm not doing it. When he was asked if he can get his joy back on the court with Miami, he said probably not. Well, Miami just suspended him 7 games for multiple instances of conduct detrimental to the team. In a statement, Miami says, through his actions and statements, he has shown he no longer wants to be a part of this team. Jimmy Butler and his reps have indicated that they wish to be traded. Therefore, we will listen to offers. Damn. So they are controlling that. And a 7 game, someone had mentioned that coincides with January 15th. That's where, like, a lot of deals that were signed over the offseason can be moved to. But it looks like the Jimmy Butler era in Miami is over. Where the hell does he land? He makes a lot of money, like $50
million. Yeah, that's wild to think about because I have no idea what roster it would make sense from a financial standpoint, right? Like that's like I, as a player, absolutely. I think he can still contribute at a high level. And we've seen this happen to Jimmy before where he goes somewhere else and then he plays well. And he's obviously older than he was in those past experiences. But
that's not how it works. You get old. Like as years go by, do you get older?
There's the older part is the analysis of him as a player.
Sorry.
I wasn't sure. Not like, hey, that's just how life works. You dumbass.
Jimmy Butler has played 22 games in Miami this year, averaging 17 points a game, taking 10.5 shots, 55% shooting, 37% from three, 5 rebounds, just under 5 assists. Yeah, and, you know, what's his contract situation going forward? I think he was upset about, like, not having the extension. I don't know. I feel like it's a tough – I'm trying to, like, figure out, like, what would be a good team? Where would he be a good fit? How do you make a deal like that happen? Who is giving up assets to match that type of salary for
– I don't get that.
Jimmy Butler.
I don't get that. That's what I don't understand how you figure that out. And – what team is it like this is worth it? Well, the only teams that would be like, oh, we could use this, not the only, but some would be like, for example, Golden State Warriors trying to find that punch. Yeah. But how do you do that with those salaries? I just don't understand. I'm not good with salaries.
Well,
I'm not good with numbers.
The Jimmy to the Warriors thing would be interesting. I mean, I don't want that to happen, but you would have to.
Well, What would they have to move around, I mean, though, to make that happen?
Kaminga and a lot more. I mean, it's a lot, you know, you probably don't want to give up Wiggins in that deal because you'd want Wiggins with Jimmy Butler and just have that tough. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a perfect fit, but Jimmy Butler's a good basketball player, and I don't care that he's old. I think he could help a team for sure.
And that's where I'm at, too. Yeah. Like, that's why I think he can help teams that are trying to be contenders. I think he can help teams to bring them up to a different level. But with that contract, I just don't understand how you give up just enough and still keep your players that you need to be a good team. I just don't see where that's going to happen.
Someone in the chat, Jalen, says Denver. Sean was mentioning Orlando as a team. Yeah. Okay. I'm fascinated to see what that looks like for Jimmy Butler. I mean, it's a shame that it goes the way it does. Like, it ends kind of ugly with Miami because he had a lot of success there.
Yeah.
But that's what's happened. I remember Jimmy Butler's final game with Minnesota was in Sacramento.
That got ugly.
Like, that game was weird. But that's kind of what happens with Jimmy. I also, like, there's like part of me is like, oh man, if Miami doesn't want him anymore, that's not good. But again, I think the Miami Heat culture can wear on guys over the years, and people have talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure when you're just not winning every game and then adversity hits behind the scenes, it's not as fun when you're still being told that you have to weigh a certain amount and run a certain amount every single day.
Well, and it's just old school, dude. Pat Riley's just old school. OG, he's not going to get bullied into a deal. Now it's like, oh, fine. You want to be traded? Okay. Here, we're going to suspend you 7 games. You're losing money because you're being an ass about it. I don't know. That's great. And, you know, the Players Association's like definitely pushing back.
They are. They are.
So we'll see what it looks like.
Also weird.
Yeah.
Also weird. But like, and it's, I think it's also fair for an organization to be like, no, you can't just quit on your job, but also to just suspend him 7 games, it's like, okay, now we're getting a little petty. I do love a little drama.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out with Jimmy Butler. Around the NBA in games we didn't get to watch because we were at Golden 1 Center watching Kings basketball, there's some things that jumped out to me tonight, Morgan Reagan.
Like?
First things first, Oklahoma City. I was watching their game. Watching the score of their game.
Oh, okay.
I was watching the score of their game and I was checking in and going, oh, they're losing tonight against New York, a big matchup against the Knicks. Like, okay, that's kind of a bummer for them. They were down in this game by as many as 14 points, but it felt like the Knicks were just controlling things.
Yeah.
Until the fourth quarter.
This is so, yeah. And 14 is nothing in today, but it's like,
I know,
you said.
But it's just, you know, the Knicks are a good team, mm-hmm. The Thunder were struggling from beyond the arc. Oklahoma City outscores New York in the fourth quarter, 37-19.
Yikes.
37-19. And now, is that 14 in a row for them?
They turn it on when they need it.
14 in a row for Oklahoma City. SGA had 33 points in the game. Jalen Williams added 20, 19 off the bench for Aaron Wiggins. And the Lost Cat had 17-22. Yeah, the Knicks got 5 points off their bench total. They end up, the Thunder, after a slow shooting start, 14 of 27 from 3, 52% in this game.
Damn.
OKC, that talk about a significant win for them to rally back against a really good team in the East, dude. We watched their game the other night when they turned it on late. They're special. And they're scary.
And that's they know how to rally, but it's like, it's not like, for anyone that's just a Kings fan here, it's not like, oh, they get in those holes that are really ugly like we've seen the Kings do a lot of times, and then they find a way to kind of fight back. No. It's like, it's basketball. It's a game of runs, and you see OKC down 20, down 14, whatever it is, and they still somehow have control of the game. It's just, it's like they didn't put themselves in this deep hole. It's a team that they're usually playing. It's a good team that knows how to also play basketball well. But OKC just knows how to play basketball better when it comes to rallying, turning it on, and getting things done late in a game.
Dude, you know who they play on Sunday?
Who? Oh, yes, who?
Boston. Dude, their next 3 games... How about the league scheduling? Okay. They play the Knicks, one of the best in the East. Mm-hmm. Before that, Minnesota. Then they go to the Knicks, they play the Celtics, then they go at Cleveland, ooh, and then at New York.
Okay.
Do the next three matchups.
OKC, Cleveland.
Final previews of the next few, you know? OKC Celtics, OKC Cavs, OKC Knicks again.
Okay, I like it. Games, a few fun games.
Dude, that's a lot of fun. But yeah, yes. OKC clearly looks like the best team out in the West right now. Cleveland won again. They beat the shorthanded Mavs 134-122. Cleveland now 30-4.
Wild.
30-4.
Wild.
Dude, insane.
I'm sure all the national media is talking about Cleveland.
Evan Mobley, 34 points, 10 rebounds in the win.
Damn.
So a big game for Evan Mobley. Also, the one other game I want to talk about, San Antonio escapes with a win tonight. 113-110 against Denver, playing without Aaron Gordon right now. How about the showdown between Jokic and Wembanyama? Jokic, 41 points, 18 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals on 15 of 36 shooting.
Uh-huh. Almost a triple-double.
He took 36 shots tonight. That's insane.
I mean, and then look at the attempts of everyone else.
Yeah. Jamal Murray is 6 of 17 in the game. Ish. Meanwhile, Victor Wembanyama played 33 minutes, 35 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, a steal. He did it on 14 of 22 shooting, 4 of 6 from downtown. And one highlight I did see was him pulling up right at the logo and launching and bearing a 3. This guy is unreal.
He's insane. And you think about someone like Jokic, how many games we've seen him put everyone on his back. They find a way to get a win because he's just getting everything done. But going against this San Antonio team that just does not give up. They don't care who they're going up against, who they have on their roster. They always fight. And then when you have someone like Victor, who's just doing it from inside, outside, rebounding like that.
He's just, we just haven't seen shit like it. Mm-mm. That's the thing. I don't know. There was one other highlight I saw where they sent like 3 guys at him at the top of the key, and he just made the right play, passed the ball, and they got an easy look. Yeah, dude. San Antonio, by the way, 18-16. Denver 19-14 after the loss. They're going to miss Aaron Gordon big time. Morgan, should we look ahead to what's next?
Yeah. What is Sunday.
Sunday afternoon, the Kings head to San Francisco to take on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are in action tomorrow taking on the Grizzlies. Steph Curry will not be playing in that game. He's been dealing with knee tendonitis. It sounds like Anthony Slater's reporting that he is likely to play against Sacramento, of course.
Wasn't their last game? Didn't he just score 30 points? And
yeah, he's missing tomorrow's game. They have back to back. So it's Memphis and then Sacramento. So he's not playing against Memphis tomorrow. I think the plan is for him to play against Sacramento on Sunday. Of course, he's going to, of course.
So annoying.
The Warriors have been struggling. They are coming off a win over the Sixers last night, a big one, 139-105. They are 17-16 on the season.
But in that win, too, though, like, they were doing a little bit of everything. They had, like, 61 bench points, so everyone was scoring. Curry had 30 points. So I look at this team and I go, they always find a way to just, like, pick it up against the Sacramento Kings, especially. It doesn't matter what the shit their season looks like. Be prepared.
Sure.
And I'm just petty about it because it's so annoying.
Yeah, those games are a little emotional sometimes, but, like, yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of the Golden State Warriors.
It's not about being scared. It's just about them turning it on and doing the right things. And then against a Sacramento Kings team where it's like, we love what they're doing in these last couple of games, but is this true to who they are? Can they continue this? Especially when they're playing a team. It's not about a team that has that record with the Warriors. It's about a team that has Steph Curry, that has Draymond, that has guys that have played together that can work together and play some good basketball together.
One interesting note about the Warriors, we're so used to their home court advantage. They play so well at home. Mm-hmm. They are 9-8 at home right now.
Okay.
It's not very good for them.
It's not.
Yeah, I just wish you have this weird respect for Golden State because of the past.
It's not a respect thing. It's like a freaking, if anything, I'm insulting them in some ways. Like, they just find a way against the Sacramento Kings. It doesn't matter if everyone had like one leg on their team. Like, they would just like figure it out because they're playing people in Kings jerseys.
You know, the Kings have actually beat them before.
I know, I know, but there are when the Kings are in a place where they're at, I know we're seeing them going in the right direction after three games, but I don't know if you remember this season. We've seen that happen before where they go, they trend in the right direction, and then it goes back down. So it's the same roster, different coach. So we'll see where this team is trending on Sunday.
It should be noted, the Warriors started the season, Morgan. They were 12-4.
Yep.
They were 12-4. They're 17-16 now.
That makes me
They've
happy.
Been playing worse basketball than Sacramento. Why did I say Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Like that? Sacramento. Yeah. I'm doing a brief check at offensive and defensive ratings.
Yeah, thank you.
Now,
people, I feel you, Mo.
Kings eighth in offense. Where are the Warriors? Golden State 18th in offense? But they're eighth in defense this year.
Someone says, just attack Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, he don't play D.
You know, he hasn't been playing as many minutes lately because he's been struggling too. It'd be nice to get the, well, obviously it's nice to get everyone possible, but you got the Warriors coming up on Sunday. Then you got a back-to-back the next night home for the Miami Heat. We just talked about a little messy right now. Are they together? Are they split apart? What type of effort will you see? And then you hit the road for the Celtics, Bulls, and Bucks.
And maybe, oh, yeah.
Buckle up!
Buckle up for that little road trip.
Final thoughts.
Love what we're seeing. Love what we're feeling. Love the beam. And I, like, kind of talking about what they have ahead, I hope that this just keeps trending in the right direction, even with this style of basketball, even if it doesn't necessarily mean W after W. It's more just this style, them playing with joy, them free flowing out there and playing good basketball.
Keep playing fast.
Hell yeah.
Keep playing with intensity. I can't wait to see Devin Carter block the shit out of Steph.
Yeah, there you go. That's the attitude.
Let's go.
Nope. We don't touch.
You're back.
Nope.
Okay. What's that?
That's
how you punch people like that?
Well, it's my left.
Anyway. I can't wait for Sunday's game. It's going to be fun. Enjoy the Saturday off, basketball sickos, from watching the Kings. There's going to be other games, that you can check out, too. The biggest thing you can do after this show is over on YouTube is drop some comments below, man. Check out the film breakdown we did on Devin Carter. But hit us in the comments after the show. Let us know, do you feel like the Kings are truly turning it around? Do you believe? Where are you at with the Sacramento Kings? We love you guys, but we got to go.
You're all the best for being here. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.